I'm Brian Russo. Welcome back to Coastal Connection. Coming up in just a bit, we'll head to Rehoboth Beach to talk with a chef whose creations are often compared to art, and who next week will be making food inspired by surrealist painter Salvador Dali. But before we delve into the surreal, we'll look at the hard, cold reality of the relationship between farmers and environmentalists here on the coast. It's a relationship that's been rocky for a long time, and it reached a new low during the legal battle launched by the Waterkeepers Alliance against a local farm family, the Hudsons, and poultry giant Perdue. The Hudsons and their allies won that case, dealing a blow to the environmental community. And now tensions are on the rise yet again, as Maryland prepares to put new rules for phosphorus in place, rules that could change how farmers use chicken manure on their crops. Next week, we'll discuss this issue with local farmers and people from the poultry industry, but today, we'll hear from Kathy Phillips, the Assateague Coast Keeper.
The Perdue-Hudson case was a very important case. We didn't win it, but it did set a precedent. It did, I think, in many ways, help to improve conditions on some of the poultry-growing facilities on the Eastern Shore. It changed certain dynamics. For instance, the town of Ocean City no longer stockpiles its sludge out on fields here in Worcester County. They now contract with somebody to take it out of the watershed, so we don't have that pollution issue any longer. I saw that as a good victory. I'd like to try not to have this usual rhetoric that goes out that, you know, the case was a mistake. Because it wasn't, and it has changed people's way of thinking about certain things. It has certainly educated the public to the pollution problems that we have. And the judge's decision did find that that farm was polluting the Pocomoke River. So let's make sure that we keep that in the dialogue. The second thing is your comment, regarding tensions between the farming community and environmentalists. I think we need to clarify that too, because again, that's the sort of rhetoric that you hear coming out from the poultry industry representatives and the Farm Bureau representatives, and it's to their benefit to keep that rhetoric going. It's called fear-mongering, and as long as they can keep that out there in the headlines, it gives them control over the situation. So I think we have to be very clear that you can't say it that generally. Are there members of the farming community that don't like Assateague Coastal Trust or don't like me? Well, hell yes. it comes along with the vision that we have and the methods that we're using to try and clean up this huge pollution source here on Delmarva. But there are many environmental groups out there that are getting along just fine with farmers, and many farmers who are getting along just fine with members of the environmental community. I mean, as long as you have organizations like Chesapeake Bay Foundation that are able to go out and get millions of dollars in grant money and negotiate subsidies between the state and the farmers in order to put BMPs on their farms, to plant buffers, to plant cover crops, to get these things into place, which farm by farm, the ones who do put these in, it does help. So farmers are quite happy with groups like CBF because CBF brings them money to put these best management practices into place. But I'd like to make a point about that. You know, the farming community, especially poultry growers, they know that putting these best management practices into place on their farms is a good thing and helps to cut down on pollution. And they want to do it, but it costs money. And so they have to come to us, the taxpayers, through subsidies or through organizations like CBF, who go out and get grant money from USDA, which, again, is coming from us, the taxpayers, to give to the farmers to put these things in place. This pollution is coming from the fact that they are involved in the poultry industry. They are either growing the chickens or they are spreading the manure for their crops. And that's the source of the pollution. And so where is the poultry industry in all this? That waste product comes from the product that the poultry industry develops. And when I say poultry industry, I'm not talking about Mr. and Mrs. Farmer on, you know, on their family farm. I'm talking about Perdue, Tyson, Mount Air. You know, where are they in all of this? Why aren't, it's their waste product, why aren't they paying their fair share to put these best management practices on the farms? Why do their growers, their contracted growers, have to depend on the state to help them put these best management practices in place?
As I mentioned earlier, with all of the media coverage of the Hudson trial, and it sort of polarized the two sides of this conversation into this sort of tense battle between the two. I feel like now that the Hudson case is over, it's almost like this conversation needs to be rebooted a bit, because you hear oftentimes this misconception where environmentalists just want to put farm families out of business. And, you know, I know in talking to you so many times and other environmentalists throughout the state and throughout the region that that's not true. But in the name of sort of rational conversation and discourse about this issue, which, you know, pollution in our waterways is a very important issue that's not going away, let's sort of reboot the conversation and go to what exactly you're fighting for and what exactly you're pushing for and where you think the compromise might be. Is it something as simple as what you just mentioned a minute ago, the poultry industry taking more responsibility for the waste it creates in its product?
I think that that's a key component to it. I think it's time for the poultry industry to ratchet down the fear-mongering and the rhetoric that they keep putting out there. It's kind of like what's going on right now, you know, in Washington, D.C. It's like, everybody, just put the rhetoric aside and let's sit down and talk about it. And quite frankly, what's happening right now with the phosphorus management tool is a good dialogue that's going on between all of the stakeholders involved in this problem that we have of phosphorus-saturated soils on Delmarva and an age-old method of waste management from the poultry industry, which was put it out on the fields for fertilizer. Scientists and the environmental community have been warning the state for 10 years now that there's a problem with the nutrients that are coming off, you know, from the land application of poultry manures and even sludges. And that, you know, now we've gotten to a critical time. And it's documented scientific fact that the soils are oversaturated with phosphorus, and any additional phosphorus that gets applied is going to get into our waterways and is going to impact our waterways. But everybody's kind of reacting in a crisis mode. Mm-hmm. And this is something that's been talked about for a long time. 2 years ago, when all of this was going through the legislature in Annapolis, and this new phosphorus management tool was, the legislation was adopted to put this into effect, Delmarva Poultry Industry, Farm Bureau, other lobbyists for the agriculture community were all there in Annapolis. I sat in the room and watched them give their testimony, and they all signed off on it. They said, yep, you know, we've got to address this problem. So there was Bill Satterfield and everybody else sitting right there in Annapolis 2 years ago, and they knew that this deadline was going to come up in 2 years. The dialogue that's going on now and all of these public hearings and the farmers and the growers and the crop growers themselves being able to get in and be part of this conversation, that's a healthy thing. And it's really good that it's happening now, but unfortunately, it should have happened 2 years ago. And, you know, they were represented by their industry, and somehow the coming back and talking to them, you know, one-on-one about here's what we have to get prepared for didn't happen. So now it's happening now, which is causing a lot of the concern, mm-hmm. because they're seeing a 2015 deadline, and it does seem too soon to be able to, you know, have to deal with the enormity of this, because it is enormous. Farmers have been using the same process of applying manure to the land for ages.
I think it would be good to give a little bit of an outline over what this phosphorus management tool that is set to go into effect in 2015, what it means. What it sounds like to me and what I've read is that it's essentially making them change the amount that they're allowed to put on and the way in which they do. How much of an impact do you think this is going to have? And just like we were talking about earlier, where you believe that, that poultry companies, the Purdue's, the Tyson's, the Mount Airs, doesn't this phosphorus management tool essentially put the ball into their court?
Oh, you mean putting it into that the poultry industry right. now has to say to the...
Because that the poultry waste is going to be there, yeah, and they can't just put it on their fields anymore, so it has to go somewhere.
Here's what I think the phosphorus management tool is going to do. It is going to spur, finally, a real concerted effort to find new ways to manage this waste product better than it has been. You know, in the past, it's an asset. Let the farmers use it to fertilize their fields. There's more of it than they can use. And now that we know that it has seriously impacted and damaged our soils to where they're oversaturated with phosphorus, I'm hoping that a few things are going to happen here. Number one, there's been many new technologies that University of Maryland Eastern Shore, the University of Maryland, Delaware University have been developing new technologies of ways to measure what is in the fields, what the nutrient levels are in the fields, and they have been developing new technologies in how to apply fertilizers so that you are using it better and using less of it. There's new technologies that are happening here in this country in how to grow corn and soybeans that you know would require less of these nutrients to be applied. So instead of all of this kind of being in a demonstration mode, which is what we've been seeing for years, let's get it out into use. A lot of the equipment, the new technologies and equipment, it's very expensive. I think that's one reason why you haven't seen a lot of this new equipment out in the fields. It is expensive. Again, here's maybe where the poultry industry can get a little more involved in helping to fund some of this.
Well, that's the thing you hear from farmers all the time is the economic concerns about mm-hmm. what environmental changes and what compromises on this issue would do to their proverbial bottom lines. Do you think that what makes this even more tense or what it's harder for people to wrap their heads around is the sort of short-term economics versus the long-term science of this issue?
I don't think you can look at it that way. The bottom line is the health of the Chesapeake Bay and the health of all of our waterways. If we don't have healthy water, we may still have a very active poultry industry on Delmarva, but we're not going to have a housing industry. We're not going to have a tourism industry. We're not going to have a commercial or recreational fishing industry. We are going to lose a lot of industries. So while chickens may continue to be grown on Delmarva and corn and soybeans may continue to be grown to feed those chickens, that's all you're going to have here on Delmarva. And that is not a vision of the future that I personally want to see, that Assateague Coastal Trust wants to see, and I'm sure that there are a lot of other people out there that don't want to see that either. I mean, the discussion has been so focused on the poultry industry for the last few years, in how important this industry is to Maryland. Where have the commercial fishermen been in this conversation? They're being totally ignored, and we're losing the crabbing industry. We're having to find other ways to grow clams and oysters because they don't grow naturally in our waterways anymore because of the pollution issues. That was Maryland's mainstay industry for years and years and years, and it's falling. And why don't we hear our politicians ranting and raving and beating their chests about that? It's all about keeping poultry, they keep talking about how it's the number one industry on Delmarva. I still will dispute that to my dying day, because if you take commercial fishing, recreational fishing, tourism, the building industry, ecotourism, timber, you take all the other industries that are in this state of Maryland, and they far outweigh the industry of growing poultry. But now I also want to say that to those folks that are out there who are contracted with these companies and are growing the chicken that is feeding families, you know, that's a good thing. We have never said, show me anywhere where the environmental community or Assateague Coastal Trust or Kathy Phillips has ever said that we want the poultry industry gone from Delmarva. It's not going to happen. The only way the poultry industry is going to be gone from Delmarva is when Jim Perdue and the folks who own Tyson and Mount Air decide that oil has become so expensive that they can no longer transport their product off of Delmarva and they go someplace else. But that's why it's going to stay here on Delmarva. It's 2 hours away from Philly, Norfolk, Baltimore. It is so convenient to be able to grow chickens here on Delmarva. Can we grow, you know, right now we're growing about 300 million chickens a year in Maryland on Delmarva. Can we grow 600 million? I don't think so, unless your vision for Delmarva is what I was talking about earlier. What is happening right now is a really healthy dialogue because it is time for people to start looking at the bigger picture and realizing that things will have to change. Agriculture has changed many times on Delmarva. Delmarva used to be an area that was verdant, that grew tomatoes, that grew other row crops, that grew chickens, that grew, raised cattle. There was a timber industry. There was a huge orchard industry on Delmarva. I mean, it has gone through many changes, and there was a time where it was very diverse. We've evolved into an agricultural industry here on Delmarva now that is corn, soybeans, and chickens, and it's all connected. And it's unfortunate. It's one of the reasons why we have so fewer small farms on Delmarva. Small farms can't afford to exist any longer. You have to have many thousands of acres to grow corn and soybeans and make any money at all off of it. And so farms have consolidated, or small farms have sold off to larger, farm corporations. And it's very unfortunate. It's kind of sad to see that that has happened. But now we're reaping the consequences of having a monocrop industry like that on Delmarva, because there's too much phosphorus in the soil.
That was Assateague Coast Keeper Kathy Phillips. She's also with the Assateague Coastal Trust. One final note on the phosphorus management tool Kathy and I were talking about. The PMT would essentially ban the spreading of any manure on farm fields that are deemed to be at or beyond a phosphorus saturation level. Experts say that could account for 70 to 80% of the fields in the most active of ag areas in the state, which includes this region. Next week, we'll talk with some local farmers and folks from the corporate side of the poultry industry here in our region. We'll take a quick break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City and 88.5 in Washington. I'm Brian Rousseau.